Well, welcome. We're going to introduce Family Hippocampus and what we are standing for. So I have a fellow board member, Dominik von Einen, and my name is Geraldine Hardy, and we'd like to introduce you to what Family Hippocampus is doing as a nonprofit organization under the umbrella of We Eight.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. So we're in Frankfurt here now, and let's start. You want to start?
Indeed. So what is Family Hippocampus? Family Hippocampus is an initiative for family members, by family members. And we're all about understanding what drives family dynamics and how can we navigate family dynamics, specifically when they are a little bit prickly. How do we do this? Because we are family members ourselves, yes, and had quite a few exposures to it. And we combine our experience with structured reflections to derive novel thinking around the matter and to help other family members to navigate family dynamics more effectively.
So, Nick, what actually brought up for you to start exactly this initiative?
Yeah, good question. In the end, it was me walking through the fires of family dynamics, and I had to understand what was going on here. And I couldn't find any answers in these fantastic family governance books. So I started to research myself, approached the matter with behavioral economics, with the cognitive neuroscience, but also complex dynamical system theory. And then I thought, you know what? So what do we do with all that? So how can we use these scars to make an impact? And then I also thought, in the end, there's so much value in speaking to other family members. Can't we create a group of family members to discuss and then actually create the knowledge that is missing and share this with our peers? And that was the idea to create Family Hippocampus, where it is all about, you know, not only to know what we don't know, but most importantly, what do we need to think about? Mm. And if we come together as more family members, we can create collective intelligence and share this with our community. And then through sharing this with our community, we get another layer of intelligence. So this way we can help each other moving forward. But tell me, Geraldine, what made you join the initiative?
So I was actually quite honored when you asked me to join, that I believe that within my realm of as a well-being expert and looking at self-care, self-synchronization, I realized that if I would have had the tools that I have now in the past, when I went through the loss of my father, when I went through so many obstacles and challenges within also my family system, that it would have been easier for me to heal certain trauma. And many things that have happened in my life, I come from a 8-generation Chinese family, 2 Chinese families in Indonesia, which were very well known in Indonesia. And there was a certain entitlement that we experienced, but I was the youngest, so I did not really experience that as much as like really my, you know, elder siblings. And I was the odd one out there. And if I would have had the chance to have this initiative, Family Hippocampus, and would have not felt so alone at that time and space, it would have been easier for me. And I felt also being understood. So we are talking about topics here that many people or many families would not put out in the open, because you don't really want to wash your dirty laundry out there. Especially with families that have a certain reputation, standing in society, wealth, whatever you want to call it on a superficial level. But this whole entire planet is run by the most powerful families let's face it. And everything started with a family business, then it goes into a corporation, and yeah. So, and when you realize that, you also can realize, like, how can we kind of help the new generation understand your generation, understand the new generation, and create impact to be more conscious on how we invest in our planet, how we invest in humanity, how we invest in impact-driven projects and businesses.
Yeah, but you just said it. It is about keeping these things under a lid. Don't speak about your family dynamics issues.
Yes.
And this is like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
It'll explode somewhere.
Absolutely.
In you, in the family.
Yes.
And it will transpire through the business, inevitably.
Yes.
And these things are not much talked about for the reasons you mentioned. But that's the issue. And that's why I call ourselves our initiative. We are family dynamics activists. Because when you look at research, it suggests that family wealth transitions from one generation to another do not happen because the family is broken apart. And this broken apart is attributable to behavior risks materializing in 95% of the cases.
Behavioral risk materializing just speaks about, we're speaking about human beings here. You know, communication is key, like the relationship with yourself, first foremost, but then your relationship with the family members. And if there's a lack of respect, a lack of communication, the lack of respect happens within oneself first. That's the reason why we actually experience the lack of respect, or we actually disrespect others. So, you know, there's always a mirror effect. And yes, people don't realize how dangerous these behavioral risks can be for the wealth, the generation of wealth, but also perseverance.
Perseverance.
And preservation.
It is mostly talked about in the context of how you create a portfolio.
Yeah.
When we look at family wealth, there is a financial portfolio, yes. But there's also something we can call social capital, internal social capital. And given that it poses the highest risk, why don't they invest more into the social capital side of things?
Because they don't realize that it actually represents the highest risk. And we are debunking this myth. We are actually literally putting it out in the open because people don't want to speak about it, because it's easier to look at figures and numbers. No, I mean, you're an ex-investment banker. Is it not easier to look at figures and numbers?
Great place to hide.
Absolutely. Is it not? I mean, yeah. And then, so let me ask you, what are the goals for this initiative? If we go through it like bullet point by bullet point and kind of summarize, what do we want to achieve?
Let me summarize it this way. Again, it's about raising awareness. It's about creating contextual awareness. It's about helping people to create mind space for family dynamics, especially dysfunctional family dynamics, because they create the behavioral risk exposure I was talking about earlier. And that is the quest here, to also use our scar tissue.
Yeah.
For the better.
Yes. To share our scar tissue or trauma, emotional wounding, whatever you want to call it. Absolutely. Yeah. Because we do not mind speaking about it because we have dealt and we continue on dealing with it.
Indeed. Yeah. It's never finished.
No.
But we can improve as we go in navigating these.
Absolutely.
Various dilemmas we are facing in a family dynamics context.
So I think like the initiative, like just to add to you what you said, the initiative is really there to create this awareness, consciousness level, and create also self-responsibility and reliability and accountability on how we take care of ourselves, oneself, and synchronize our own belief patterns, understanding our communication to make a difference within the dynamic of a family, within the system of a family.
Yes, because it starts with the individual.
Absolutely,
doesn't it?
Yes.
But Geraldine, what are the methods of creating this impact? What are the means?
First, you know, from the individual perspective, it is taking this accountability, I call this also self-discipline and responsibility for our own belief patterns, trauma healing, emotional wound healing, not seeing ourselves as victims, but really taking matters in our own hands. It is easier to point a finger at, oh, my uncle, my dad, my... Okay, why are you in that situation? Why have you been born in that family? And that's where the work starts. And this is part of what I call the self-care and self-synchronization. I'm not talking about self-care, like, oh, let's just have another lavish holiday in a five-star hotel. I'm talking about serious self-care where we go through specific coaching practices like clinical hypnotherapy, trauma healing, quantum healing, energy frequencies changing, and then going through movement practices, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, and different philosophies, yoga, Ayurveda, Taoism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, anything that speaks to that specific individual in the family. Because we are all very different. That means not everyone resonates with yoga. I would call it movement practices. Not everyone resonates with meditation. Well, let's call it contemplative practice. Mm. And these are all tools that we use, and we use them also in our retreats. We use them also in our workshops, because we want to create a multidimensional experience, and not just the cognitive layer, but also the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual layer.
It's so important, because when you are in a position of victim, you cannot learn. You cannot move. No. You hide in your victimhood. And this is where people get stuck.
Yes.
And it creates reactivity. Right? So when we are reactive, we create a conflict chain. Well, actually a conflict chain, yes.
As you call this, the karmic cycle in the spiritual world. Yes, conflict chain. Yeah.
Yes.
We call it a karmic cycle that repeats itself. You know, like you have maybe noticed if you're in a bad mood and something goes really bad, it's really important for us to pivot, because otherwise the rest of the day is just going to get worse.
Indeed, we have a choice.
Yes.
When we have a choice.
Yes.
When we have the space between stimulus and response.
Exactly.
If we do not have the space, we are banged together, we become reactive. We don't have any possibility, and that creates this chain reaction.
Exactly. So stimulus and response, the way how you see it also from neurolinguistic programming, what we say in the spirituality, it's like, how can I not react and get triggered from my traumata that has just been pretty much reawakened in that specific time and space when someone really made you upset or angry, and has you actually can feel the strong emotion coming up, which is a lower vibrational emotion that could be anger, grief, sadness. And how can you not react from that? Where can you go inside of yourself knowing exactly, whoa, I'm getting triggered. Where does this come from?
This is the way how we can actually listen to our emotions.
Yes.
And use those signals to navigate. Because when we are reactive, we cannot, they drive us. When we understand the value of the emotional signal, we can use the signal for continuous improvement.
Absolutely. So it's never advisable to respond at that time and space, or let's say react, and you get really upset, and then you can actually create more havoc within the relationships that you have. I'm not only talking about families, I'm talking about interpersonal relationships with anyone. And some things can be said and done that you cannot be revoked.
The thing what we are actually working towards too is creating more self-awareness.
Yes.
Which is then very important to understand others.
Yes.
So in other terms, it's about creating emotional intelligence, which is the prerequisite to create social intelligence.
Absolutely. And then it's not creating empathy, it's creating compassion. Because empathetic, you know, you can feel other person's feelings and you're not really aware of if they are your feelings or not. You need to protect yourself and learn how to do so. But it's not about feeling the other person's feeling. It's about being compassionate what this person goes through. But yet again, knowing how to set your own boundaries. That not meaning that what this other person goes through means that it will also have an effect on you. Because families believe sometimes we need to sacrifice ourselves for the other person. We need to sacrifice ourselves for the children, and then we overgive and overplease to the children. That forms goes into a moment of entitlement where children think they can do whatever they want.
So why should families listen and actually come to our retreats or attend these seminars? What's in for the family? Because we obviously speaking about the individual.
Yes.
But what does that have to do with the family as a social system?
Well, Family Hippocampus gives a safe haven and a safe space, a sanctuary where people can share. And when people can share, they feel also safe that there's a community. We call it in the spirituality Sangha. There's a community of like-minded individuals who have gone through similar fires. As much as we are different, we're not that different on what we experience. And because only of money does not mean we don't have problems. That's not true. And we do the same also for startup founders, because once you exit your company, the issues in your family are just going to get exacerbated by money. So the retreat offers a platform of learning, and we're sharing tools on how you can self-synchronize, but also how can you help synchronize everything within your family.
Yes, because systems theory tells us when you change one element of a system, it impacts the entire system.
Quantum physics.
When family members are more conscious about how they respond to stimulus, because they have this gap, they're no longer reacting, conflict can be prevented.
Yeah.
Or put it this way, conflict can be productive.
Absolutely.
And within this space, we create what they call a psychological safe space, where you don't feel the need to protect yourself by ego, by reactivity.
Yes.
And I totally agree, it helps when you speak to other family members. It's the magic of normalization, which already helps you to accept yourself. It helped me to accept myself better. That creates psychological freedom degrees. So working together with peers towards a greater self-synchronicity helps to understand other people better.
Yeah.
Because in the end, we cannot change how people react, but we can change ourselves. And that way, how we respond to the other person reacting, that alone breaks vicious cycles of conflict.
Yes.
And it all goes towards a point where the family can suddenly really communicate. Because 60% of the respondents who were actually asked in this survey why they think their family wealth transition from one generation to another didn't occur, said it was down to a breakdown of communication and trust.
Yeah.
And communication is inhibited when people are reactive.
Absolutely. And the trust part is very important, because when has this trust been broken? How can this be mended again? And it is mainly to do with the fact that we believe we are not one. But if you do unto others that you the way how you would not like to be treated, there will be repercussions to that. Always.
Indeed. So here is where the complex dynamic of three theory comes in, because at the end, everything has diminishing or reinforcing feedback loops on the positive or negative side.
Yeah.
But everything is connected to everything.
Yeah. And just because you're family, you're not necessarily safe, let's face it.
Indeed. No, yeah. People do not feel safe in their own family. And that creates the upheavals, the unproductive conflicts that are followed by another set of conflicts for which the groundwork was laid at the first conflict.
Absolutely.
So how do you get order into the chaos? And why is this important? Well, far and foremost, it's about collective decision making. It is about staying together, even when it comes to prickly things like discussing who's going to be the successor. So if you want to keep your legacy, if you want to keep the family business, the family office, the family, it makes sense to think about these things rather than relying on formal family governance. Because that is the usual risk response.
Yeah.
We go to a lawyer, we go to an advisor, and bang, there's a document. Everyone signs, no one owns. And these are the things we want to bring across in our seminars and our talks. And while talking is great and creating mind space, to get hands-on and help people really with their problems and navigating family dynamics, we create these retreats, only 10 people. Yeah. But this is where...
Highly confidential.
Of course. And but this is where this platform is created amongst peers to share, to be open, using the magic of normalization.
Yes.
And also understanding how can they create this space between stimulus and response. This space through the work you do, Geraldine.
And
we also go into structured reflections using NLP, also an NLP coach master.
Yeah.
And to understand and how to can we relate to other people in a better way, which will then allow members of families to navigate with more confidence and more presence. And I'm also
loving plays. I mean, this is your family at the end of the day. I mean,
it is your family, but then also when there's a business family, there are business interests involved.
Absolutely.
And I can share when we created this retreat, for me, it was kind of, this is exactly what I would wanted to have when I went through the fires of family dynamics.
Yeah.
I would have come out stronger and quicker. So I'm not with less scar tissue.
Yeah.
I came out of it stronger. It took me a longer time. We were successful with our endeavors within the family dynamics, but it could have been shorter, more effective and less painful if I had such an offering as the retreat we offer from a family hippocampus.
Absolutely. And then also what we look at, which is very, because we come from different families. I mean, you come from a European-German family, Octavian from an Austrian. I'm from an Asian one. There are also the cultural differences. They are all very different. And then also when I can see this within the whole family business dynamics, where families do business with many different families from different cultures, it has a benefit on all different levels, on how you do business, on how you invest, on how... So not just only knowing, okay, I know thyself, I also know my family, I know how to be with my family, but also how to do business. And it has a ripple effect on all of these layers. What I think about, what we look at Family Hippocampus, is the human being. It's really the human being, human-centric. And not, okay, let's just look at how do we diversify the portfolio here.
Indeed, it was nothing to do with that.
No.
But as you say, various cultures. And so I speak at many conferences in many countries, speaking to many people from different cultures, also in Singapore, also in Dubai.
Yeah.
But what I realize, there are cultural differences, of course. But some things are culturally invariant.
Absolutely.
And probably one of the things is the human being.
Yes. And then looking at it also from the perspective, there is not only a transfer of the wealth now from the old generation to the new generation, but also to women. So It's also quite important to look at Family Hippocampus, where we actually support on what is the role of women in families. You know, you see there's also a lot still. A traditional role play, or how can women actually step up? And it's still there. It's not...
Yeah, no, I did a presentation about the neurodiversity,
yes,
in the sense that women and men have different wiring,
yes,
which makes it interesting to compose a social system which becomes more resilient,
yeah,
because it's diversified.
Yes.
There's research out there. And so interesting, because we talk about biodiversity, we talk about how to diversify the portfolio.
Yes.
How we diversify what we eat.
Yeah.
How come we do not speak about how can we diversify a social system? Be it a family or be it a corporate board or whatnot.
Yes.
So, yeah, indeed. And it's all these things that are hard to overcome because of imprinted social norms.
Yes.
And they are being rewritten without many people noticing. And it's like in science, we cling to what we know.
Yeah.
And then we build walls around it, not even boundaries, thick walls, and defend it. And then it takes a generation before they crack down.
Wow.
And actually the system can evolve. But so that's another interesting aspect. If we come to think of it, in my third generation, and the generations before, they said real change in family businesses and family business culture, mm-hmm, takes about three generations. That was with less of a pluralistic worldview. Now we have a more pluralistic worldview. And now we already see that transitionings are happening faster.
Yeah.
In Germany, I can say there are many family businesses that have been taken over by women, and very successfully so.
Yes.
So there, you know, and this is also where the culture comes in, of course, but it's actually quite surprising. So things are moving forward, and there's much to highlight in this transition, because without being able to navigate these dynamics,
yeah,
what looks good on the surface might create still a lot of emotional pain underneath.
And you don't want to carry this on to your children. You don't want to carry it on to the next generation. Yeah, it's we're looking at also quite at the ancestral trauma, certain things that normal therapists or let's say other groups don't look at. We go a little bit above and beyond and unorthodox.
Well, and in the context of family dynamics.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's the other thing. When you are in those family dynamics fires and come out of it,
yeah,
you've experienced it, which is very different to maybe someone who observes this from the outside.
Exactly.
So there's Mary, the neuroscientist.
Yes.
She lives in a confined world and everything is black and white,
yes,
in her world. But as a neuroscientist, she knows exactly how the brain encodes the color of red. Now, the magic fairy comes and opens this confined space, and Mary suddenly comes out in the real world and sees a ripe red tomato. She will have a shock, even though she knew all about red.
Yes.
She is experiencing red for the first time. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
You have experienced it. You speak from a very different angle versus the situation. You have observed and studied it. And that's the major differentiation factor also for the Family Hippocampus Initiative. We're all, yeah, family members.
We walked our talk. We walked through the fires. Yeah.
Exactly.
It makes it a big difference.
So it's really a peer-to-peer initiative.
Yes.
To help our community and to learn while we practice, teach, we learn more, and the more we learn, the more we understand more of our scar tissue or how to apply it and bring it back to the community.
Yes. Good. Okay, thank you. And watch that space, follow us, and we're going to also create more workshops. Check out Bristol and Partners conferences where you speak. We also will speak at CASA in Toronto next year in April. So yeah, watch the space. If you are interested in what we're doing, please contact us anytime. You can contact us through our website, and yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.